stay tuned for Mystery Theater. Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I'm so glad you're here. You, in person, in the flesh, bone, blood, and tissue. It's all very cozy, very comforting to think of you listening at your ease to the weird little tale we're about to bring you. But where is the rest of you? The other part of you? Where is your astral body? You didn't know you had one? What is an astral body? Well, according to the largest dictionary we could find, it is a subtle counterpart of the physical body, accompanying, but not usually separated from it. Now, the key word here is usually, for some swear that the astral body can, and on occasion does, separate itself from the physical body and go wandering off on its own.
Mother?
Yes, dear?
Is he with you now?
He just left.
But he was there.
Yes.
Mother, what you saw was Adam's astral body.
Are you telling me I saw a ghost?
It's happened again. You saw Adam, Mother, but it wasn't Adam in the flesh. Not the flesh that was lying beside me in our bed. A very different kind of flesh. Maybe not flesh at all.
Our mystery drama, Adam's Astral Self, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Michael Wager and Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Sign Off, the Sinus Medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Goldilocks, Ms. Goldilocks, if you please, and I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be. Once upon a time. I mean, that's how this Miz got into the biz. But lately it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
Hey, Mom, what's for dinner? Hey, Mom, what you got?
What's for dinner? Check ShopRite's low price on first-cut choice beef chuck steaks, just 57 cents a pound. Fresh ground beef chuck, any size package, 89 cents a pound. ShopRite hamburger rolls and packages of eight, just three for a dollar. Mohawk 5-pound canned ham will serve a crowd for just $4.99. Save on fresh red plums, 3 pounds for $1. Hotel bar butter, 79 cents a pound. For every meal you serve, you'll get a lot more for a little less at ShopRite.
She loves a family. She wants the best. She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, Mom, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
This is the story of an actor named Adam Farr. An actor is someone whose whole effort is to become someone else, all the while remaining, out of necessity, himself. The character he portrays, or becomes, is therefore a sort of second self, living for the moment within the actor's body. Any actor can pretend. Only a very great actor can become. The second self of a great actor has a power and a pliancy that is often quite incomprehensible. And Adam Farr was a very great actor. We bring you now an account of the many strange things that happened to him, or that he made happen to himself and to others.
Ooh, Adam. Ooh, Adam, it's cold. We need another blanket. Would you get up and get one? I can't get to sleep. Adam? Adam, I'm freezing. Please get a... Adam? Adam, don't pretend with me. Please, Adam. Oh, Adam. Oh, dear. Oh.
Yes? Hello?
This is Tessa, Mother. Mother, I can't wake him up.
Adam?
Of course, Adam.
What do you mean you can't wake him up?
What I said.
He isn't sick, is he?
Well, I don't think so.
He looked all right when he was here.
What's that? What did you say?
I said he seemed all right when he was here.
He was at your house?
He stopped by for a minute.
When was this?
A little while ago. Matter of fact, he just left when you called.
Mother, I'm coming over. I need to talk to you.
It's kind of late.
I'm getting dressed and taking the car. I'll be there in a half an hour. Adam? Adam? Oh, it's happened again.
Come in, darling.
Sorry to disturb you, Mother.
That's all right. Give me your coat. I'll hang it up. Is it snowing?
No, but it's about to.
Come sit down. I've got a fire going. Now, what's got you so upset?
When was Adam here, Mother?
I told you on the phone about an hour ago. He was only here for a minute or two. I was at the piano practicing some Chopin etudes. I looked up, and there he was. I must say I was surprised to see him so late at night, and such a bad night at that. But he smiled at me and motioned me to go on playing. And I did, and then we exchanged a few words.
Well, what did Adam say?
Heavens, I don't remember. Tessa, what is it? What's the matter?
It may interest you to know that Adam was in bed with me, in our bedroom, in our house, the entire time. Since right after dinner, lying right beside me.
He must have got up after you went to sleep.
I didn't go to sleep. We had a late dinner, then I cued him in his lines for the new play, and then we went to bed. A little later, I felt cold. I couldn't get to sleep. It was so cold, and I asked him to get up and get an extra blanket to put over us. I couldn't rouse him, and that's when I called you.
He was here. I saw him.
What you saw, Mother, was Adam's astral body.
Are you telling me I saw a ghost?
You saw Adam, Mother, but it wasn't Adam in the flesh. Not the flesh that was lying beside me in our bed. A very different kind of flesh. Maybe not flesh at all. Anyway, that's how Adam explains it.
Explains what?
It's not the first time it's happened. Remember when he was doing that play about Napoleon? He went to Corsica to see where Napoleon was born.
I don't remember Adam going to Corsica.
He didn't go to Corsica. He was rehearsing the play. He projected himself to Corsica. Astrally.
You mean he imagined himself in Corsica?
He went to Corsica.
How could he if he was here?
By an act of his unconscious will. Well, that's what he says anyway.
Tessa, dear, Adam is an actor. A very great actor. He did a lot of research on Napoleon before he did that play. Maybe he imagined.
Well, that's what I thought when he told me that he'd been there. But after the play opened, I talked to one of the actors, a bit player, who was born in Corsica. His mother still lives there, and he said his mother had seen Adam in Corsica, crossing a little footbridge. She recognized him from all the films he'd made, and she asked if she might take his picture.
You're not saying.
I'm saying she did take his picture and sent it to her son, and he showed it to me. a picture of Adam standing on a little footbridge in Corsica.
You recognized him? It really was Adam?
It wasn't a very good picture, but it was Adam, all right. I showed it to him, and he said yes. He remembered the bridge and the woman and having his picture taken. He said he was there. I said I didn't believe him. The man in the picture must have been his double, and he laughed and said, yes, it was his double, his etheric double. In other words, his astral body, a spirit body shaped just like his own physical body, the same size, a body that could detach itself and move about wherever he wanted it to go. I never told you about this because I didn't want to frighten you, but now I...
It doesn't frighten me.
It frightens me.
I think it would be lovely to have an astral body and go floating about in it.
Adam says everyone has an astral body. So I suppose anyone can go floating about in it if they've a mind to. Personally, I
wonder if I could.
Adam says that when people die, you can see the astral body hovering over the earthly one.
But that's marvelous.
Well, I'm glad you think so. Because I'm leaving him, Mother. I want you to stay with Jonathan until I find a place to live.
You want to leave a wonderful man like Adam?
Do you know he thinks he can fly?
Really? Really fly? By himself?
Well, he hasn't quite got the knack of it yet, but he says that because he hasn't learned to concentrate correctly.
I used to think I could fly.
Mother, will you do it?
Come live at your house?
Or let Jonathan come live here with you?
I think it would be best if I came and stayed at your house. When were you planning to leave?
Well, just as soon as I've told Adam. Adam? Adam, wake up.
Hmm? Oh, what time is it? What are you doing up?
I want to talk to you, Adam.
Huh? Hey, it's still dark out.
I'll turn a light on.
Got your clothes on. Where have you been? Or are you going someplace?
I've been at my mother's house.
You went to see Maida? What for?
Adam, were you at her house earlier this evening?
Yes. I was there for a minute. She was playing a Chopin etude, one I liked. I wanted to hear it more clearly.
You knew she was playing Chopin before you went to her house?
Why else would I go there in the middle of the night?
Mother lives 15 miles from here. How could you know that she was playing Chopin at all?
I didn't know she was. I knew. There's a difference.
Well, if there is, I can't see it.
Well, the way a farmer knows it's going to rain, he doesn't know, but he knows. He couldn't give you evidence, but he knows.
Oh, Adam.
You can call it precognition if you like. You can call it telepathy. I don't care what you call it. Would you believe me that when I asked you for the 10th time to marry me, I knew you'd say yes just before you said it? And the other 9 times I knew you'd say no and tell me it wouldn't be fair to your little boy. Oh, I don't care whether you believe me or not. It's true. It happens all the time. I don't take any credit for it. It's simply true.
The way you went to Corsica?
I did go.
And stayed here at the same time to rehearse the play. How?
Do we have to go all over that again? I don't know how I did it. I simply did it. Call it astral projection. That's what the books call it, though I've never read any of them. All I know is that when I'm in a certain state of mind...
What state of mind?
A kind of relaxed concentration. Something... Well, sometimes there's a sudden click. And then... Click, 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 and then... Something is released and takes off and goes free, liberated. Well, I don't expect you to understand.
This latest notion of yours that you can fly?
Not yet. But soon, men have flown, you know. You've heard of Peter of Alcantara, haven't you? The great Spanish ascetic, he flew over the tops of trees whenever he had a mind to. And Joseph of Cupertino, a flying monk, everyone's heard of him, 17th century, a Capuchin. One day while he was praying, he floated off the ground and up to the altar.
No, stop!
And back again. You can say it was religious ecstasy in his case, but what about Daniel Douglas Home in the 19th century in England? What about Simon Magus at the time of the Emperor?
Oh, no. Adam, stop it. I can't listen to any more.
Oh, my poor darling, I mustn't expect you to understand. You're so sweet, so simple. How could you possibly comprehend the power of the unconscious will? The human psyche, Tessa, was designed to do more than gape at things and give them names. It can control things, not just wait for things to happen. Make them happen.
I don't understand. I don't want to understand. There is nothing to understand.
Oh, my darling, there is so much to understand. There's so much power within us, lying there, crouching there, holding its breath, waiting.
Adam, you are a great actor, a great artist. I'm just a...
Oh, being an actor has something to do with it, I suppose. Yes, in my best moments of creativity, I have the sensation of being selfless, timeless. Yes, I feel that.
But I don't feel that.
On the other hand, it may have to do with my pineal gland. There's a little grayish-red thing attached to the third vertebra. They say it looks like like an eye. It actually has a retina and a lens. Imagine. And it's said to be the seat of the soul.
Adam, everything you say may be true.
Oh, it is. I haven't expressed it very well, but...
But it's way beyond me. I don't have your mind or your talent or your penal eye. Maybe so. I can't comprehend what you say.
Oh, that's all right, darling.
No, it's not all right because it confuses me and it makes me unhappy.
I don't want to make you unhappy, Tessa.
I can't live with all this talk of astral bodies and pineal glands. I can't understand it and I don't like it.
Don't try to understand it.
I'm not going to try, Adam. I'm leaving you.
That's absurd.
Oh, as soon as it's light, I'm going to drive into town and take a room in a hotel. Mother will be here in the morning to stay with you and to look after Jonathan.
I'll follow you. I'll follow you and bring you back.
It won't do any good. I'm going now, Adam.
Tessa! Tessa! Something's happening!
What is it?
What's happening to me? I can't stay on the bed. Tessa, hold me down. Don't let me... I'm rising in the air. I'm floating. Like Simon Magus, like Peter of Cupertino. Tessa, come back. Hold me down.
Adam, no, I
wasn't ready for this.
Adam, I'm leaving.
Come back. Hold me down. Tessa! Tessa!
But Tessa has gone, and Adam continues to rise steadily from his bed. Perhaps it is better to fancify that one can defy gravity, if only one wanted to, than to discover that one is actually doing it when one doesn't much want to. We'll return shortly for Act Two.
I'd like to clear up a little misconception, and to do it, I'm going to take you through a Buick dealership. See, a lot of people are considering the purchase of a small car, but they might not consider coming to a Buick dealer to get it. That's a mistake, because right here are all kinds of small cars, imported and domestic, with 4, 6, and 8-cylinder engines, with 2, 3, or 4 doors. Here's our biggest small car, the midsize Century. It's pretty luxurious in there, but the size makes it practical, too. This one's our next smallest, Buick Apollo. Under this hood, there's a 6. Pretty handy these days. Yet because Apollo is a Buick, it has qualities you don't often find in cars this size. And this little rascal is Opel, 4 cylinders, and the best-selling car in Germany. You'll know why when you drive it. Well, there you have it. An impressive small car variety under one roof. At your Buick Opel dealer.
There's a very special deal going on at all offices of Suburban Savings throughout North Jersey. It's called Suburban Special Interest Deal, and you'll be especially interested in the savings you get. A top 7.90% effective annual yield on Suburban's limited issue 7.50% savings certificate, and Suburban guarantees it from 4 to 10 years. Minimum deposit $2,500. Early withdrawal prior to maturity is subject to a substantial penalty. Suburban compounds interest continuously from day of deposit paid quarterly. So you not only get interest on your savings, you get interest on the interest. And Suburban offers you the highest interest rate allowed by law. Here's your chance to get a great savings deal. A top 7.90% effective annual yield on Suburban's limited issue 7.50% savings certificate. Why not deal yourself into Suburban Savings' special interest deal at any Suburban Savings office in northern New Jersey?
Located in Bayonne, Edgewater, Elmwood Park, Emerson, Hackettstown, Morris Plains, Nutley, Paramus, Sparta, and Wayne. This is WOR New York, an RKO General Station, your station for the Mystery Theater.
Adam Farr's wife, Tessa, left his house. And it is a week since her mother, whose name, by the way, is Maida, moved in. Adam, as we know, is endowed not only with a great acting talent, but also with a peripatetic soul, which on previous occasions has seen fit to take flight from his stationary body. How will he fare with only a mother-in-law to keep him anchored down?
Mr. Farr's residence.
Mother?
Tessa, I thought you'd never call. Where are you?
Well, that's what I called to tell you, but I don't want Adam to know.
Well, Adam's upstairs. I hope he hasn't picked up the extension.
He never does things like that.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm in a motel about a mile out of town on Route 9. The Valley Motel, Cabin 6.
Is it a nice place?
Well, nice enough. There aren't very many people here. It's out of season, but it's okay. How's everything with you?
Oh, all right. A little tense, maybe. Adam goes into rehearsal next week, you know.
I know, that always makes him tense.
But he's managed to stay in his physical body, if that's what you're worried about.
Well, I wasn't worried, exactly. I just wanted to be sure you were all right. And Jonathan, how's Jonathan?
Jonathan's fine.
Has he asked about me?
I told him you went on a little trip for your health. Tessa, I'd better hang up. I think Adam's coming downstairs.
Okay.
Was that Tessa?
Were you listening in on the bedroom phone?
I wouldn't do a thing like that.
That's what Tessa said.
So it was Tessa.
Well, yes, it was.
Did she say anything about coming back?
No.
She's with a man, Maida.
No, she's not.
I saw her.
You couldn't have seen her. You don't even know where she is.
In my mind, I saw her with a man.
Well, your mind is mistaken.
It never is. Maida, I need her back. I go into rehearsal next week.
She knows that.
Maybe she's forgotten.
No, she hasn't.
Did she say something about it on the phone?
No, but I did.
You do realize how important it is to have her back with me before rehearsals start, don't you, Maida?
I suppose I do.
It's vital, vital.
Well, maybe.
Maida. Maida, do you feel well?
Me? I feel fine.
You don't look well. You look as though you're coming down with something.
Well, I'm not.
It must be this terrible weather we're having.
I don't mind it.
This drafty old house.
This is a nice house.
God bless you.
I've always liked this house.
You're catching a cold.
I'm not. Adam, what are you trying to do?
Don't you see, if you were to get sick, not seriously sick, just a little sick, Tessa would come back, please, Maida.
You want me to catch a cold just to bring Tessa back to you?
If only you would, please, Maida, don't you?
Well, I won't. See? It's gone already. I'm fine. Adam, did you give me that cold? I mean, did you, wish it on me?
I was thinking how nice it would be. Just a little cold, Maida. Nothing serious. Just a sniffle or two.
Is that you, Adam?
Yep. Run upstairs, Jonathan. Get ready for dinner. Oh, go on playing, mate. It sounded beautiful.
I've been playing all afternoon. I'm tired. Where have you been?
Oh, Jonathan and I were playing.
Playing what?
Well, we toboggan for a while?
Looks to me like you did a little skiing.
Well, I went down a couple of slopes.
Not Jonathan, though.
He doesn't know how to ski.
You didn't offer to teach him, I hope.
He doesn't even own a pair of skis.
And he's not going to for a while yet.
Well, I sort of promised him.
You're not to promise him any such thing.
Mayday's going to want them.
He's never wanted them before. Adam, did you try to talk him into learning how to ski? Did you?
He is old enough.
Did you let him use your skis?
No.
If you did...
I just let him stand on my feet while I was...
You didn't.
He was perfectly safe. I held on to him.
What if you'd fallen? Jonathan could have broken an arm or a leg. He could have been killed.
Oh, not killed, mate. I'm a good skier.
Oh, just a broken bone or two. Is that your idea?
At his age, it wouldn't have been serious.
And a cold at my age wouldn't be serious either.
Well, no.
But either one would serve to bring Tessa home. Is that it?
Maida, rehearsals start next week.
You're impossible. Absolutely impossible.
Well, what have I done? I haven't done anything.
Did you tell Jonathan to take a hot bath when you brought him home?
Is he supposed to take a hot bath?
Jonathan! Jonathan, you're to take off those wet clothes and get into a hot bath. You hear?
I didn't do anything!
Hello?
Tessa, I had to call you.
Yes, Mother.
I don't know if I should tell you this, but your fool husband has some sort of idea that if I got sick, you'd come home.
Are you sick?
No, I'm not sick. Adam tried to give me a cold, but I caught on right away and put a stop to it.
Well, Mother, if you're sick, I'll...
I'm not sick. Now, if you just listen. Adam thinks that if I got a little cold or something, or if Jonathan were to break an arm or a leg, you'd come home.
Well, I would.
That's why I'm calling you. I'm not sick, and Jonathan is perfectly fine, and we're both going to stay that way. So you're not to worry, you hear me? Not to worry. Oh, I hear him coming downstairs now, so I'll hang up. Goodbye.
Bye, Mother. Oh, for goodness sake.
Your mother, huh?
Yes.
No trouble, I hope.
Well, she just called up to tell me everything's fine.
Oh, that was very nice of her.
Well, yes, it was.
You look worried. You want to tell me about it? I know we only met last night, but I feel I've known you for years.
It's my husband. He goes into rehearsal next week, and he's always a little, well, difficult just before he goes into rehearsal. He's
a marvelous actor.
Yes, he is.
I remember him in that play about Napoleon.
The Man from Corsica.
Yes, I saw it twice. Then he made the movie. I saw that three times. And all his other plays and all his pictures. Oh, my, what an actor.
Yes, what an actor.
It must be fascinating to live with a man like that.
Fascinating?
Well, what a personality. Wow.
Yes, wow.
Makes me wonder how you can stand spending time with somebody like me. I mean, what's the percentage?
Why, Philip, you're a very nice man. Very, very nice.
Oh, yes, perhaps, but... Next to your husband.
Why do you have to say next to my husband? Next to anybody? Why can't you be all by yourself? You're good enough.
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I would any time.
Speaking of next to your husband, you know, I was there last night.
What? You were there?
Yes, standing right next to him. In my dream. I had a dream about him. Of course, I recognized him right away from his movies and all, but I must say I never thought I'd meet him. Not even in a dream.
What happened in the dream? Did he give you his autograph or what?
No, nothing like that. Not much of anything happened. I was right here in this room, or maybe it was in my own room. These motel rooms all look alike, and I turned around and there he was. Oh, I was so impressed. Even in my sleep, I was so impressed I couldn't get my mouth open to say anything. I just looked at him, and he looked back at me, and, oh, boy, did he look sad.
Sad?
Yes. He sort of shook his head like he couldn't stand it, or he was sorry for me or something. He was so sad.
Philip, then what happened?
I woke up. Huh. Crazy kind of a dream to have, wasn't it? I must be nuts. You think so?
Not you, Philip. Not you. No, not you.
Bring your coffee into the living room, Adam. There's a fire going. Terrible weather. Absolutely terrible.
You feeling all right, Neda?
I feel fine, so don't start that again.
I just asked.
Jonathan is fine, too.
That's good. Here's your coffee.
Whatever gave you the idea you could make either one of us sick? Just by thinking of it.
Oh, not really sick. Just a little...
Just enough so Tessa would come back.
Yes.
How did you figure she would know?
Oh, she'd know.
We don't all have your psychic gifts, Adam.
Yes, you do. Only you don't use them.
Oh, Adam.
Tessa would have known. There's a good deal of telepathy between Tessa and me. I'd know if she was sick.
That doesn't mean it works both ways.
It must work both ways. It must.
Don't count on it.
Mate, if I could only convince you. There's a huge reservoir feeling in us all. And that feeling is full of power and resources. Cleverness, inspiration. Every man and woman alive possesses it. Not just geniuses and mystics and philosophers. Every one has it. The meanest of us. But most of us won't use it. We let it lie dormant while we coast down the slide of our humdrum days toward the grave.
You may have it, Adam. You are, after all, a very great actor.
I don't act by myself. I don't act for myself. I act in front of people, for people, and they react. Something profound in me is rousing something profound in them. The thing that's in me is calling for the same thing in them. Oh, what's the use? You don't want to understand. It's all so futile and so tiring.
Adam, I may as well tell you. I phoned Tessa and told her.
Told her what?
Your little plot to make me come down with something, or Jonathan. I felt she should know.
That's all right. You thought you were doing the right thing.
I'm glad you're not angry.
Doesn't make any difference. It's perfectly clear my powers are failing anyway. If they weren't, you'd have got sick or Jonathan would have had a little accident. And Tessa would have come home. No matter what you did or didn't do.
You mean you're beginning to lose faith in yourself?
I guess I am.
You don't think anymore that you can fly?
Tessa would only come home.
Well, she won't.
She'll never, never, never come home, and I'm lost.
Adam, what's the matter?
I don't feel well.
What is it?
I don't feel at all well.
Adam, why, you have a fever. Your head is hot.
I'm sick. I'm burning up.
I'm going to call the doctor.
No, no. Maida, come back here. I don't want a doctor.
But you need
one. I don't need anything. I'm sick. I have a fever. I think it's very high fever. Yes, yes, I am sick. I'm very sick. And now my wife will come home.
We all know there are people who will do anything to get what they want. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll even murder. And if everything else fails, they'll get sick. Such a one is Adam Farr, the great actor who is now not acting. Not with a fever of 105, he isn't. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
After unsuccessful attempts to confer telepathically a small ailment on his mother-in-law and a minor injury on his stepson in order to bring his wife home, Adam Farr, actor extraordinary, has now come down with a raging fever, which we assume he conferred upon himself. Where there's a will, there's a way. And Adam Farr has a very powerful will.
Do try to lie still, Adam. I want to change the compresses.
Rehearsals. Next week, rehearsals. I start rehearsals.
If you don't let me take care of you, there won't be any rehearsals, so please lie still.
Tessa, I need you. Tessa, come home to me. Tessa. I'm dying.
Adam, let me call a doctor.
Not yet. Not yet. Not till Tessa comes home.
I'm going to get some more ice, Adam. Will you be all right?
I'll be all right when my wife comes back to me. I'll fly to meet her.
You'll do no flying of any kind. You're weak as a kitten. Now lie there quietly if you can while I get more ice for the compresses.
Maida, don't leave me.
I'll be right back.
I think she's coming home. Tessa, are you coming home? Yes. Yes, you are on the way.
You're driving along the road to our house.
Oh, drive carefully, my precious. A little faster. But carefully, my love, carefully, yes.
Yes, that's it. The turn is up ahead.
You haven't forgotten it, have you?
That's it now. Up the driveway between the rows of fir trees that we've planted ourselves. Now, slow down for that last curve. Now, stop. You are here.
I knew you'd come. Oh, I knew it, my love.
I'll fly to meet you. This is the moment for me to fly.
Wait for me, my love. Out of bed. Over to the window. Wait. Lord, how weak I am, but
it won't be easy to fly.
Float through the window, straight down to you.
You're getting out of the car now.
Yes. The window's closed. Wait, my darling, I've only got to open it. It doesn't... Oh! And I've... Locked? No. There it is. I think I've got it. Wait. A little more. And I'll fly out the window and down to you. A little bit more. Oh, Tessa. Tessa, I couldn't quite manage it.
I had the... Adam, you got out of bed. Are you all right?
Yes, all right.
Whatever possessed you?
Answer the door, Maida.
Let me help you up.
Leave me here and go answer the door.
What?
There is someone at the door.
No, there is not.
Tessa. Tessa's at the door. Go let her in.
Tess, it was uncanny. There's no other word for it. I'd gone to get some ice from the kitchen. I suppose that's why I didn't hear the car drive up. When I went back, he was lying on the floor by the window. It was open a few inches. He must have opened it. Heaven knows what he was trying to do. Whatever it was, the effort was too much for him, and he collapsed. I tried to get him back into bed, but he said never mind to answer the door. I thought, well, now he's really delirious because there wasn't a sound. He said, there's someone at the door. I said, no, there's no one. he said Tessa's come home. And then we heard the door knocker.
Oh, Mother. We both know by now Adam's a very strange man.
You know I told you on the phone he wanted me to develop a cold or Jonathan to have a little accident just to bring you home. Well, it never occurred to me he'd make himself sick, but he did. And look, it brought you home.
I suppose we should go up and see how he is.
Yes, we should. I left him lying on the floor. He seemed perfectly lucid and very calm. I was the one who was frantic when I heard the knock at the door.
Now you've got some idea what it's like living with a man like Adam.
Yes, yes, I have. Well, he got himself back in bed anyway. That's good. Adam?
He's sleeping.
It's the first time he slept since he took sick.
Adam?
Adam?
It's Tessa. I'm here.
Adam? What's the matter with him?
It's like the other times.
You mean...
His astral body is... is gone someplace else.
Gone? Where?
Heaven only knows.
Here's tea for both of us, dear. Lord knows we need it.
Thank you, Mother.
It's all so strange, isn't it?
Very strange.
Not just this. Not just his leaving his body this way, but the whole thing. How he made you come back and everything. Tess, tell me, how did he get the message to you? How did the telepathy work?
It didn't.
What do you mean it didn't? You're here.
I'm not here because of Adam, Mother.
You're not?
I'm not here because he's sick. I had no idea there was anything wrong with him.
But you're here. Why did...
I came back to tell him that the separation's final. Permanent. Mother, I've met a man. A very nice man. He'll be here pretty soon. You'll meet him. I hope you like him.
Well, of course, if
he's a very ordinary man. There's nothing unusual about Philip. He's like 100 million other men.
You love him?
I think I do. Of course, I've only known him a short time. He was staying at the motel. We were almost the only people there. We spent a lot of time together. And, oh, Mother, it was so restful, so peaceful.
Well, darling, of course I don't want to influence you, but do you know how much Adam loves you?
I suppose.
All the time you've been away, he's talked of nothing but you. You know he goes into rehearsal next week.
I know, I know.
He says he can't do it without you.
He'll have to.
Tessa, when I went in to check on him, he looked so different. So quiet and content. I'm sure that must be because you came home. I know he thought he'd brought you home. But even so...
Mother, I can't be concerned anymore with what Adam thinks.
Tessa, when I went back into the bedroom with the ice cubes and found Adam on the floor, he was right in front of the window, and his fingers were bleeding, and the window was open a couple of inches.
Mother...
Tessa, I think he was trying to fly.
You don't...
Yes, I do. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've made fun of him about this notion he could fly. I've made fun of him about a lot of things. Your ordinary man would have been resentful or angry or embarrassed. But not Adam. He was very sweet. Very humble.
Humble? Adam humble?
My dear, he doesn't claim extraordinary powers for himself. He says we all have them.
Well, I don't have them. Oh, that must be Philip. Now, be nice to him, Mother.
Well, of course.
Come in, Philip.
Yes, thank you.
Philip, this is my mother. Mother,
How do you do? My daughter's been telling me about you.
Hello.
Will you have some tea, Philip?
No, thank you. Tessa...
Well, come, sit down, anyway.
Tessa, I've got to tell you something.
Would you like me to leave? I'll go upstairs and check on Adam.
Well, is he here?
Of course he's here.
He's been sick, Philip.
But I just saw him.
You couldn't have.
Well, yes, he didn't look sick. He looked very well.
Where do you think you saw him?
On the road. Just outside the house. He was standing in the middle of the road.
Well, that's impossible, Philip. He's been upstairs in bed since last night.
No, he was standing in the middle of the road, I tell you, waving his arms.
Philip, you imagined it. Remember, you had a dream about him one night back at the motel?
No, no, look, this wasn't any dream. I was driving along looking for the house, and there he was right in the middle of the road.
No, Philip.
I talked to him.
And just what did he say?
He said that if I took his wife away from him, he'd kill me.
Oh, Philip.
But you must understand, Philip, that wasn't the real Adam Farr who said that.
Well, then who was it?
It was the astral Adam Farr.
I don't understand. What's that, his stand-in?
Well, something like that.
Tessa, I don't want you to think he scared me or anything like that. I mean, it was sort of sudden and it was spooky, but I still want you to come away with me. I mean, I'll take my chances if you will.
Tessa?
Will you? Will you, Tessa?
I don't know.
We can go a long ways away from here.
Well, let me think about it.
All right. If you want to.
Go back to the motel. I'll call you in a day or two.
All right. I'll be there. And whatever you decide, I know you'll decide the right thing.
I hope so.
I'll be right by the phone. I'll have my meal sent in. Call me any time of the day or night.
I'll show you to the door, Philip.
Tessa, remember, I love you.
I'll remember.
I'll be waiting for your call.
She'll call you.
Wait, Philip. Wait!
He's gone.
Call him back. I'm going with him.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm going to get my coat. Tell him to wait for me.
If you're sure. Philip? Philip! Oh, good Lord! Adam!
What was that noise?
Look there!
Oh, no! It's Adam and Philip. They're not moving, either of them. What happened?
Adam jumped from the bedroom window. Philip was standing right beneath it.
He killed him, just as he said he would.
Either that, or he was trying to fly.
I'll call the police.
Well, wait. Do you see it?
See what?
That mist rising from their bodies. Thin, bluish, a sort of vapor floating toward the sky. See? There it goes. There it goes.
A spirit of the same size and shape as the physical body, which can detach itself and move about in space and time. In the last moment of life, it detaches itself in the form of a thin bluish vapor and moves upward. That is how Adam Farr would describe the astral self. And for all I know, he's perfectly right. Anyway, it's pleasant to think so. I'll be back shortly.
Just when you think you've packed away your sinus miseries along with your winter coat, along comes summer sinus.
My face hurts. My head aches. How could it be my sinus? It's summer.
Even a change in the weather or air pollution can make your sinus flare up. So can pollen. Your allergy can trigger sinus.
When it happens, what can I take for it?
Take Sinoff tablets. They help relieve throbbing sinus pain and help drain clogged sinus cavities. The miseries of summer sinus.
Sinoff can do all that?
Right. Sinoff tablets give you a full dose of pure aspirin for pain, plus a decongestant to help drain clogged sinus cavities, plus an anti-allergy ingredient.
Sinoff tablets. The sinus medicine in the bright red box.
For summer sinus miseries, get Sinoff. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Take only as directed.
Sinoff. I'll remember that.
Perhaps you didn't believe a word of our story. I wouldn't blame you. I'm not 100% positive I believe it myself. On the other hand, I'm not 100% positive I didn't believe it either. We are, after all, dealing here with the human soul. And when it comes to the human soul, I'm ready to believe anything. Or, on the other hand, nothing. Our cast included Michael Wager, Jennifer Harmon, Jacqueline Brooks, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The Mystery Theater program was furnished by the CBS Radio Network. This is WOR New York, an RKO General station.
House Judiciary Committee members are about to make their showbiz debut, and President Nixon seems certain to be the loser. I'm Fulton Lewis in the Mutual Broadcasting System studios in Washington, D.C. My commentary after this.
This is Rocky Graziano. Lots of times on talk shows, I tell jokes. And sometimes I kid around when I talk about Lee Miles, the transmission champs. But transmission trouble isn't a joke, so I'm not kidding when I say you should see Lee Miles. They've been in business about 25 years. They repair, rebuild, reseal, or exchange your transmission. Lee Miles has shops all over the greater metropolitan area, and you'll find them in your yellow pages. They're the greatest, and that's no joke.
By a fairly overwhelming 340-40 margin, the full House of Representatives yesterday took action, enabling its House Judiciary Committee to open its doors to live television and radio coverage of the upcoming impeachment debate. Within only a few hours after that action, the panel's members themselves voted 31-7 to admit the media. Voting nay were Democrats James Mann of South Carolina, John Sieberling of Ohio, and Robert Drinan of Massachusetts, along with Republicans Edward Hutchinson of Michigan, Charles Wiggins of California, and David Dennis of Indiana, along with Trent Lott of Mississippi. With no commercial interruptions permitted, the radio and television networks will then be encouraged to carry the full show from beginning to end. And although historic in nature, it promises to be one of the dullest features to ever hit the American airwaves. To begin with, each of the 38 Judiciary Committee members are going to have 15 minutes to state their views for a total of nearly 10 hours. Then there's going to be another 20 hours of debate, or so-called debate, devoted to specific proposed articles of impeachment. During that period, members will be able to offer amendments to any of the pending articles, each member being given 5 minutes to speak on an article or motion. If you add that up, that's a maximum of 1 hour and 30 minutes of talk per article or per motion. The committee's chairman, New Jersey Democrat Representative Peter Rodino, says that he hopes the final curtain is going to fall by next Saturday. I think more realistic projections indicate that the television and radio equipment is going to be broadcasting the proceedings at least through the beginning of next week and possibly longer. Yesterday's action by the full House was, in my view, regrettable, not because it enabled media coverage of the Judiciary Committee's long and what promises to be dull debate, but because it did overturn a 20-year-old policy of the full House of Representatives to prevent any of its proceedings from being turned into a circus. The policy initially was established by the late House Speaker Sam Rayburn in the wake of the McCarthy Army hearings on the Senate side. By allowing the live electronic media to cover those hearings, Rayburn correctly observed, the Senate had spawned a disastrous situation in which an otherwise serious legislative proceeding was converted into a spectacle. Committee members became show business personalities who were concerned first about their public image and only secondly about the legislative matters at hand. And the witnesses and the counsels alike all became actors. Some allowed the opportunity of being complete dramatic performers, while others were relegated to a villain's role of just reciting the Fifth Amendment for hours upon hours. The late and great House Speaker Sam Rayburn took his legislative responsibilities quite seriously. Some 20 years ago, he was determined that the House of Representatives was not going to succumb to the temptations of the modern electronic age. And just to ensure that no House committee meeting would ever degenerate into a circus, Rayburn fought successfully for a rule banning the live media from all House proceedings. As a result of that wise action, virtually all legislative spectacles of the past two decades have been limited to the Senate side of Capitol Hill. Members of the House have been denied the opportunity of using committee meetings and investigations to gain for themselves quick national recognition and the fame and fortune which usually accompany such recognition. The House of Representatives, by and large, has confined its activities to relatively unglorified pursuit of its legislative responsibilities. There have been no overnight superstars such as Senators Joe McCarthy or Estes Kefauver, or more recently, Sam Ervin and Howard Baker, or on the legal counsel level, such as the McCarthy hearings personalities Roy Cohn and Joseph Welch, Robert Kennedy of the Labor Rackets hearings, or Sam Dash of the Senate Watergate Committee fame. With a chance of having 38 of its members on cameras and microphones across the nation for almost a full week in such a historic proceeding as an impeachment debate, the House of Representatives yesterday, I think, took a giant step backwards by killing the old Rayburn rule. Importantly, the ban on live media coverage of House proceedings was not just suspended temporarily for the upcoming Judiciary Committee debate. The vote yesterday to change the rules now applies to all future committee meetings. From this point on, in other words, any hearing or any meeting of any House committee will and can be open to live broadcasting whenever a majority of that committee wants it. And you can be quite sure that the lure of national notoriety will be just as great in the House of Representatives as it has been in the Senate. That, I guess, will leave the judicial branch of our government as the sole believer of the old Rayburn doctrine, the doctrine that decreed that live radio and television coverage tends to distract from a serious proceeding. Judges generally are not subject to the same political pressures and do not share the same high political ambitions which seemingly afflict members of Congress. They, I hope, will be content to have nothing more than artist sketches portray to the nation what transpired in their courtrooms. There will be no live Perry Masons, and for that, I think our entire political system can breathe a deep sigh of relief. Nearly all of the 21 Democrats on the Judiciary Committee are regarded as virtually certain to support impeachment, while the 11 Republicans usually are listed as hardline votes against. Hogan, of course, left that list with his announcement today. The only Democrats regarded as possible votes against impeachment are Alabama's Representative Walter Flowers and South Carolina's James Mann. Republicans regarded as leaning toward impeachment, in addition, of course, to Hogan, are Representatives William Cohen of Maine, Hamilton Fish of New York, M. Caldwell Butler of Virginia, and Tom Railsback of Illinois. Considered possible but far less likely Republican votes for impeachment are Illinois Republican Representative Robert McClory and New York's Henry Smith. The committee actually continued today debating procedural questions, with the starting time for the broadcast impeachment debate still uncertain. Committee sources say that it may start tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, or it could well be put off until Thursday morning. The likeliest scenario for the debate is that it will open with introduction of a resolution declaring that it is the committee's recommendation to the House that President Nixon should be impeached. Then would come the first phase of the debate, with each of the 38 committee members having 15 minutes each to talk. The resolution may be tabled without a vote, and then the committee will turn to debate of individual articles of impeachment. The Democrats reportedly are working on three proposed articles of impeachment based upon the presentation that was made last week by John Doerr, the impeachment inquiry's chief counsel. The three articles in question would charge the president with obstructing justice in the Watergate investigation, with contempt of Congress for his refusal to obey committee subpoenas, and abuse of power for his alleged role in surveillance activities, as well as attempts to make the Internal Revenue Service more politically responsive. Committee members also will have an opportunity to offer their own proposed articles, as well as any amendments or substitutes, and each member, as I pointed out before, would have 5 minutes to speak on each article and each amendment. During debate, any member may yield all or part of his time to another member. Thus, if one individual has used up his 5 minutes and has more to say, another member may be heard saying that he yields time to so-and-so. A disagreement has already developed over whether votes on proposed articles should be taken at the very end of the debate or as such an article is considered. The Democrat majority favors voting on each as it comes up. Since most committee members consider the Watergate allegations the strongest, that article presumably would be called up first. Republicans fear that that strategy would bring an early vote to impeach and possibly create a bandwagon effect. They are therefore pushing for delaying all votes until the bitter end. In one other development, Republicans met an early caucus today and voted to designate Sam Garrison as the minority counsel to the impeachment inquiry. He will replace Albert Jenner in that position. Many, if not most, of the hardline Republicans have been extremely unhappy with Jenner because of his staunch refusal to present counterproposal whenever John Doerr offered an opinion to the committee. The last straw for most Republicans occurred when Jenner, a Chicago lawyer, voiced his full agreement with Doerr's pro-impeachment presentation. From the Mutual Studios in Washington, I'm Fulton Lewis, and that's the top of the news as it looks from here.